could sing it all the way around. I was thinking about, you know, if tonight after church, after this evening, we can, maybe some of you fellas can kind of help us. We can shuffle some of that stuff around this evening. We won't need it again. Let me get this on. How's that? Is that on now? Good. So anyhow, if y'all could do that, to remind me of that, then we maybe can shuffle some of this around and not have to worry with it. And one of you, some of you singers, tell us what parts you need hooked up where and how. We'll get it done. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, and we'll be looking there in chapter number 2. Looking there in Ephesians chapter 2. Notice, if you will, please, when you find the place, if you're able to stand, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. These are old familiar passages to us. They're a blessing to us. And we thank God for the fact that His grace and mercy has been dispensed toward usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. All right, verse 1. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also that we had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And He hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, that He might show His exceeding riches of His grace and His, in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of Thy Word, and we do thank You for it. We ask You to lead us, guide us, and direct us by Thy truth. Thy Word is the truth, and we thank You for the Spirit of God to lead us therein. Now, Lord, thank You for those You've saved here of late. And dear God, for all You've done and all You're doing, I pray You'd find us busily occupied about Your business when You so come again, that we be not ashamed of Thy appearing. In Jesus' name we pray and ask Him. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I just want to talk a little bit about and preach a little bit about and rejoice a little bit about the saving grace of God. Do you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find out is that there's nothing greater on the face of this earth than your soul and where it's headed. Now, we're born without God. We're born lost and undone. Man tries to substitute that with religion, but religion can't do it. It's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to you personally to birth you into the family of God. I want to say to you that, if you will, salvation is the work of the Lord. And I'm glad that it is that way. And I can tell you right now is God goes to working on you before God goes to working in you. And whenever God goes to working on you, and it makes you begin to examine yourself and look at yourself and make you desire to want what only He can give you, and that's the saving grace of God and the mercy of God. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that God uses many things that are in the Bible. But let me tell you something. God uses His own means. You know what that is? That means that God uses Himself, that God uses His Son, that God uses the Holy Ghost of God. God uses His Word. That's the means that God's using. Let me say to you, we're not trying to help Him. Let me tell you, it's going to be all the work of God, and that God is going to use in saving our soul from a devil's hell. Now, you know, God uses men also as well as means. And by the way, let me say to you that the man that I'm talking about is the man Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the very man that He uses. Now, does God use anybody else? Sure. This Bible said that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You ever wondered why people hate preaching so much in the day and hour we're living in? I'll tell you why. It's the thing, one thing God chose to birth people into the family of God. I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle, husband, wife, sister, brother, so forth and on, is that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe in. We've got people that have visited here of late, and they don't mind coming if you've got a good meal. And we're glad they come to get a good meal. Most of the time, they're going to get a little, I get to preach one more time, or whoever's preaching one more time. And one of these days, you're hoping somehow or another that it'll just sink deep down into their heart. Now, you see, we're not going to be standing in awe and by the intellect of humanity. Let me say to you that if you're aware, there's some men across the country that are real orators and certainly have a vocabulary that you'd have to look up most of what you're having to say, because that's just how deep they've gotten and all that business there. But let me tell you, that won't get you born again. What will get you born again is the demonstration and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that's being able to give you, that your faith should not stand in men. I'll tell you what ends up happening is you can always tell when God's dealing with you. Whatever it is that you've got a problem with this morning, with God, God's already been talking to you about it. It might be when you're alone in your bedroom. Could be alone in your house. Could be when you're on your deer stand. Could be when you sit getting the picture. Let me tell you right now, we can stop and think. I remember a man that was on the road to Damascus when he got saved. I remember a man that was up a sycamore tree when Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide at thine house today. I'll tell you, it was good when God made it personal and God made me realize who I was and what I needed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, God not only uses men that have been called of God, but you're going to find out that God will use his message. What God does is God goes to calling and knocking upon people's heart, and God goes to showing them their need by bringing conviction upon them, by disturbing them and changing them and converting them and snatching them as a brand from the burning. I got to tell you right now is you're going to find out that in the lesson that we're looking at in verse number 2, you know what's wrong with humanity? They're on the wrong course. That's what he said in verse number 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. In other words, a person that's lost without God. They may be religious, but they're lost without God. And let me tell you, they're on the wrong course, the wrong path, that if you will please. And I got to tell you right now, I don't know about you, but I recognized one day in my life that I was headed the wrong direction. You know, man's not born to physically into this world headed toward heaven. He's born again and then pointed toward heaven. But he's born lost and undone without God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, is that when man is dead in trespasses and sins, that doesn't mean he's a corpse. You know, a corpse has no life whatsoever in it. But you and I that are dead in trespasses and sins, we have life, physical life. Now, if you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you spend eternity without God. But if you know the Lord and you die in the Lord, you spend eternity with the Lord in paradise in a place called heaven. I got to tell you right now is when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find that it's going to take the demonstration of the Spirit of God and the power of God to bring us to a place that we're washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Now, the devil wants to offer an alternative to religion. In other words, he wants to give you religion that won't be real. He wants to give you an alternative of religion against righteousness. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that make no mistake about it, we're living in a world that somehow or another, they're on the wrong path, they're going the wrong direction, but they like the broad road. It's got plenty of room. It's got plenty of choices for them. It's got plenty of Bible versions. It's got plenty of religious tags, that if you will, please. But they're headed the wrong direction. You know, the Bible said the broad road, you're going to find out that many go therein
and good many go thereat, but the broad road is on the road to destruction. It's religious, it's a fun road, it's got every religion you can mention. And as a result of it, there's people, you know, that feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. God wants to save your soul, and religion wants to make you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. That's what religion does. I was reading one of those missionary letters just now while I was in the office that we'd gotten. And I want to say that it was from Brother David West. And he was giving an update and a bunch of little different excerpts on his newsletter. And what he was talking about, some of the children that they had involved in a vacation Bible school or a child thing that they had going and so forth and on. And then what he did was is that he pointed out that they had received a whole lot of children, and they were glad because they were going to be able to preach to them and teach them and hopefully see some of them get a little older, get saved, and then to help them grow in grace and love and knowledge of the Lord. But then he said that after that they had a real good turnout on those children, then the following Sunday, there wasn't one child showed back up. Come to find out, as they went and visited with some of the parents, a Roman Catholic priest had told them, don't be letting your children go down there anymore and listen to that preacher. And let me say to you that, if you will, that's the way the world is right now. If you realize at all that every time you're watching the news media, and while you may be thinking, boy, it's good that we've got people that believe God in the news media, yeah, but most of them are Roman Catholic. Most of them are going to die without hope and without God. Most of them are religious but lost, and they're on the wrong path, if you will, please. I don't mean that to be ugly, but I do mean it, and I know it sounds ugly. See, that's what happens when you're on the wrong course or the wrong path. People want to give you psychology. They want to make you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. And that's what psychology does. That's the reason why that in the day and hour that we're living in, it's not hard to get people to be able to come to some religious meeting, but it's hard to get them to an old-fashioned Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. And whenever a person comes to know the Lord, and they're realizing and knowing I'm on the wrong course, I'm on the wrong path, and I'm going to change directions. All right, number two, not only are they on the wrong course, but you'll find they're for the wrong cause. They've not got any purpose for God in life, because how could they have? But in verse number three, here's the way we live, is that we were fulfilling the lust of the flesh and so forth and on, the desires of fleshly mind. We were not according to the word of the Lord, but you'll find we were in love with the things of the world, even though that 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17 said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that loveth the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I got to tell you right now, it's good to be able to know the Lord Jesus, that when we get saved by the grace of God, we've been on the wrong path. And let me say to you, for the wrong cause. But I want to tell you right now is this religious crowd that stays lost without God, they finally listen to the wrong counsel. You know, if you're not careful, somebody can give you bad advice. Now, I want to tell you in simplicity what bad advice is. Bad advice is whenever you take this book, which is the Bible, and the person that's making whatever statement they're making, they have no Bible for it. Good advice is this. Good advice is not the way I raised my children, or the way you raise your children, or the place you're working, or the people that are on the job. Good advice has a chapter, a book, and a verse to back up what God says. See, that's good advice. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that we live in a world is that is following the prince and the power of the air. And what they've done is the devil's all the time, every time you hear a message that would help you, the devil's waiting by closely so he can help rob it away from you. I got to tell you right now is, make no mistake about it, is that if you listen to the wrong advice, you're going to get messed up down the road. the wrong conversation in verse number 3 of our text, among whom that we had our conversation. This is the way we live. He says his mind, his motive, his message, the mission in life, all of it was wrong without hope and without God. Do you know that by nature you and I have got the life of the natural man? You know, did you know that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God? Neither can he know them, because the Bible said he's spiritually discerned. I have tried over and over for all these many years to try to figure out another way to maybe help somebody understand this is what God wants for you. But I got to tell you something. It isn't nothing I need to figure out or another preacher. Here's where it's at right here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When God goes to troubling you wherever you are, riding down the road, sitting in your house, playing in the yard, sitting on your deer stand, whatever it is that God has come to deal with you about, there's where it's at. And let me tell you what happens is that when God does that, you'll find he will manifest unto you the power of God, which is unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that in verse number 4, man has tried everything he could, but he's not going to make it. But verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. Well, I'm glad for that. Who is great, with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace are you saved. You know, there's a song that some of this religious groups sing every now and again. I'm talking about even saved people. And talking about waiting on my body to be. I'm already over on the other side, waiting on my brand new body. And if you're a child of God, that's the way it is. I'm not going to be saved. I'm saved. If you're saved this morning, by the grace of God, what a wonderful thing that it is. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now is that you'll find that what God wants to do is he wants to be able to show you somehow or another that he's putting you on the right course and pass from death unto life, and that you're on the right course for the right cause and for the right counsel. And as a result of that, your conversation, your very life will be about him. Your walk will be in spirit with the Spirit of God in truth. Now, I want to tell you something, what that's saying in essence in closing. God has corrected everything that was wrong about us. And I'm glad it's that way. You know, there are going to be some people whenever we wind up in heaven, when the Lord comes again. There's going to be some people, no doubt, that we did not imagine was ever going to go to heaven. And there's going to be some people, no doubt, that are not there that we expected to be. And let me tell you right now, all the world is claiming to know him, they do not. They do not. The evidence is by the word of the Lord. Now, when people hear you say that, they say, well, you're just judging. Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I am. The judge of the universe is the one that pointed it out. See, I want to say in closing that, if you will, that God, whenever he saved our soul, he's not only given us a divine nature, he's enlightened us, and now we've escaped the wrath of God that'll come upon the rest of this world. The Bible says in the book of Romans, don't turn there, chapter 6 and verse 18, being made free from sin. Man, what a thing. You know, before you get saved, is that you decide you're going to do something for God. Well, there's the flesh. Oh, no, just put it off till later and wait till another time. He knows that sooner or later you're going to run out of time. And God said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He said, being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You see, that's what happens when you pass from death unto life. When you get washed by the blood, born into the family of God, it changes your want to, it changes your walk. And now you're walking with him in the light of his work. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I can tell you right now is when you got saved by the grace of God, God put a new want to, and God put a new walk in your life. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad the Lord who troubled my heart then saved my soul. God may be troubling your heart. God may be troubling your heart. And you'd say, "Preacher, I'm tired of being troubled. I'm ready to let go and let God." Now, you know what ends up happening, don't you? Sometime, like this fine young man that we saw Wednesday night come forward, he got saved and he said, "I want to make it known. I want everybody to know that I have trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ." Now, if you're here and you're thinking, "Well, I don't want people thinking that I do that because of Connor," you ought to do it because of somebody. Connor's done the right thing. Why wouldn't you want to be identified with that? If somebody else has done the right, see, quit worrying about what everybody else is thinking. See, let me tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, it's good to be saved and of the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And perhaps you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I know that's what I need to do." Then let's sing an invitation song real quickly. We'll stand to our feet. Our song director's coming. Our pianists, our musicians are coming. And let's just get ready to sing a song. Maybe God's been tugging at your heart and troubling you like we've been talking about. Maybe he has. And maybe you say, "Preacher, I'm not going to let another opportunity pass me by." Our Father, now we pray your blessings upon this service and these that have gathered here today. And I pray that now that, Lord, you'd move upon us with it as we thank you for saving Connor. Thank you, dear God, for being able to hear his testimony and witness him being able to walk with thee. Now, there may be others, man or woman, boy or girl, whatever the need is, thou knowest.